This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Bill Shear and Guts Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, please visit gutschurch.com.
I'm in a series, Defeat Fear. Fear isn't something we can toy with or that we can play with. Fear's got to be something that we just get up every day and smack it in the mouth. 1 John 4:8 says that in love, there's no fear. And perfect love casts out all fear, because in fear is torment. Now listen, and that kind of sums up, I personally believe, where the world is today. That perfect love casts out fear. See, the more information that we get from what's happening, and I'm not a proponent of being uninformed, but I am completely against immersing ourselves in the news of the world. See, I think we've got to be careful about what's kind of being forced upon us, whether it's Ebola or ISIS or the stock market or the IRS or whatever it might be, whatever your flavor of issue might be that's happening in the world. Here's what life is going to present to you. Life's going to present concerns, okay? Concerns are going to come up almost every day. You got to be ready for them. You know, the Bible says be ignorant of evil, okay? But, man, we've got to be completely aware of the enemy's devices. What he's going to try to do is he's going to try to bring enough concern, and if he can find an entrance of concern into your life, he'll begin to pour it on, and it'll be relentless. And see, that concern then, it starts hitting kind of the scales of our heart. And the Bible says to guard your heart, or the scales of your heart, with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. See, and keeping those scales right keeps the right perspective. You know, and I think it all starts with who God is. I think it all starts with what God is about. And the answer to everything that we have is Jesus. You know, one of my favorite verses, probably the first verse that I ever memorized, was Acts 4:13. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, the sons of thunder, okay, these were dynamic men. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived them unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge that they'd been with Jesus. See, it's imperative, man, the biggest thing that I can tell you today to defeat fear in your life is you have to be with Jesus. You know, if you're caught up in fear and anxiety or you battle depression, and let me just tell you, man, the clinical depression is real, but it's based upon truth. It's based upon facts. And see, and that's where we have to differentiate things in our life. What's factual and what is truth-filled. See, because a lot of times they're not the same thing. And the thing about the truth can never change, but facts always change. Man, some of you guys, man, used to be in shape. Some of you guys used to have hair. Some of you guys used to, but let me tell you, facts change. But the truth never changes. And that's why we set our belief on the truth. We put our trust in the truth. Why? Because it's steadfast, immovable. And that's how our lives have to be. Our lives always have to be abounding in the work of the Lord. But you know what? That can't happen if fear has tipped the scales of our lives and kind of ruin the equation of our lives. See, we're in this world. We are. We're subject to gravity. But in our hearts, we can't be of it. We can be in it, but not of it, okay? It's not a play on words. Man, we're in it, but we're Americans. We're in America, but man, our citizenship's in another kingdom. Man, our citizenship's in heaven. And see, now we look at it, and now we've got the rights and the privileges of heaven now in our lives, and not just the country that we live in, not just the place where we reside. And see, we look at our lives, and little concerns happen. But see, what God's done is he's given us his promise through his word to take care of all the issues and concerns that we have to deal with in life. Man, we mature and we're educated and we take responsibility and we get married and we have children and we invest money and we start businesses and we start churches and we lead life. And man, all these concerns that just pile up. And the Bible says this, when those concerns start to tip a little bit and they become what you think about when you go to bed and they become what you think about when you wake up. and they begin to rob you of the rest at night that God's promised you, then you have to say, whoa, wait a minute. And you have to go to his promise. And his promise is this: cast your care upon the Lord because he cares for you. See, and what you have to do, you have to get to a certain place and you've got this concern, okay? It might be money issues. It might be your health. Man, it might be that you're maybe feasting on the media and not on God's word. Okay, you begin to feast on what the media's telling you. I'm telling you, those scales begin to tip. You've got to get something out of that. You've got to take that concern out of the equation. And the Bible says, cast your care upon the Lord, for he cares for you. But it goes further than that. It says that he will contend with what contends against you. See, what you're dealing with right now, it may be the enemy to your soul. The issue may be very real and may be very factual. But remember this and write this down. Facts change. The truth never does. So what we have to do is we have to add to the weight, add to the side of the truth. So the scales of our heart are always tipping to the truth, are always tipping to what God's promised us and who God really is. And you know, you'll see things in there. Man, we suffer loss in our lives and you understand people die. You know that? And see, and our flesh, it hits our flesh, especially when they're young or when they're infants. And you know, we have to deal with this, and it's so hurtful. And we go to God and we say, God, what is up? God, why? And God, and then you know what? And then at some point in our life, man, the devil makes sure that some religious person, some Pharisee, some contrary to the truth, will say something like, well, you know, God took that baby, or God took your grandmama, or God took those people. And yeah, I believe God receives people that, A, before they're of the age of accountability, and B, when they're of the age of accountability, they've given their lives to Jesus, God gladly receives them in heaven. Okay, but understand this, every good and perfect gift comes from above. You know, and there's people you try to rationalize, well, there's stuff that you don't know. Well, it's like, wait a second, all I know is the truth. Be ignorant of evil, I know the truth. The truth, and see, but then you have to take it a step farther. And I've been reading in 1 John, especially through this time, because there are things that like your business will fail, or some of you guys maybe were in ministry and failed. But you look at, well, that God did that, or God took that from you, or God. And you know what? I'm not a proponent of that. I believe that God does give and God does take away. I believe he gives us every great thing, every precious thing that we have need of that's in his kingdom, and he takes away the things that are going to bring us harm in our lives, okay? But it's not this haphazard thing where it's like God's killing people that are in our lives. And see, and so we have to look at this, and we have to read God's word, and we have to know God by who he is and by his nature, not by what we've heard or not by what someone said. See, this book that we have is not something we read as a novel. It's not informational. It's not something that we read in the Bible we'll read it for the text. No, you know what? The Bible says it's life to those who find it and health to all their flesh. What the Bible does, it opens it up, and the Bible says this: the entrance of his word brings light and life. And that life, what it does is it counters all the other mess, all the things that breed doubt and unbelief. Remember when the man of God said, God, Jesus, I believe, help my unbelief. And it's like that's how we live our lives. We always have to take the unbelief side of our life and trump it with God's promise, and trump it where there's a daily dose of God's word that's happening in your life. I've said it 100 times in here, and I'm gonna keep saying it, and you're gonna get tired of hearing it, but you gotta be in the word every day. Number one, you have to read your Bible every single day. Number two, you have to prayerfully study it. It's not something to just read through it. There's times I'll read my Bible, I got a confession, and I'll turn the page and I'll realize, what did I just read? Because I'm just reading it. It's not just catechism for us. It's not just something that we just look at and ponder on. It's life to those who find it. It's health to all our flesh. Our life is in God's word. And see, we read and then we have to prayerfully study it and find God's heart in it. See, because the Bible says the letter of the law kills, but the spirit of the law gives life. God gets blamed for so many tragic things and so many calamities and so much heartache in people's lives, and it wasn't God. But see, we have to understand that that will bring fear when we've got this kind of schizophrenic approach to God. Man, it just breeds fear in so many lives, and we don't realize it. We've got to be rooted and grounded in truth. And you know what it'll do? It'll defeat all the fear in our lives. I'm just trying to be real with you. See, I'm trying to season my words a little bit, and this be not you coming in a little parched and want to deal with fear in your life, and me, you taking a little sip, and I'm coming with a fire hose that is blowing the back of your head off. I mean, it's like, I'm very passionate about this. Because I'll tell you, it becomes an evil dictator in our lives is what fear is. And the only way we overcome it is we go back to Acts 4:13. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived them unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Have you been with Jesus? Because that's the key. That really, truly is the key. In 1 John, the fourth chapter, I'll tell you, 1 John is amazing, especially at this level. But in 1 John, the fourth chapter, it says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. But we back up to the second chapter. Man, John writes and says, and he's writing to Christians. He says, you have an anointing. Okay, just let that kind of settle on you just for a minute. Because we expect our leaders, we expect our pastors, we expect the apostles in our lives and people that speak over us, people that have to stand before God and make account for our souls. We expect them to have an anointing, but we're not thinking about ours. And I'm just telling you, you sitting here right now, you have an anointing. You know what that anointing is? It's the presence of God. It's an unction from God, okay? It's like it really, really literally is nitro and glycerin that comes together, and our trust, our faith provides a switch to flip that on, okay? So you have an anointing. You have God's presence. That anointing is God, is God's deity, okay? It's the very presence of God that, listen, write this down, that breaks every yoke of bondage and removes every burden. So now you have an anointing. And I was reading in 1 John, it even says, look, the same spirit, the spirit that is in you is the spirit of truth and will lead in God. God will lead you in God, you're in all truth. But it says, look, you don't have need of all these teachers, man, directors in your life. Like, oh my gosh, I'm in an impasse. What should I do? I better make a phone call. And I find, listen, man, what you're never going to get from me, what you're never going to get from Pastor Sandy, from the leadership of this church, is a directive word to tell you what to do and where to go. What you're going to get is you're going to get wise counsel from God's word that'll bring safety in your life. See, but it's God's job. It's the spirit of truth that's on the inside of you that's designed to direct you. And see, that's why the enemy wants to foul up your heart with fear so that you can't receive the true direction from God. Man, the Bible even goes so far, Paul goes so far as to say, look, how long do you have to be taught this before you go and teach it? Man, there are so many dynamic evangelists and pastors and teachers and apostles and prophets that are in this room right here that are watching on the internet, that are listening to this podcast right now, and somehow we've got to come alive because the world is in desperate need of a living, powerful, extravagant, just don't take no for an answer church today. Man, I'm telling you, you can't turn on the news. It is consuming. Where do we go? What do we do? Can we get on an airplane? Can we go to a hospital? Oh my gosh, man, who's coming into our city that's gonna cause harm? Let me just tell you, the Bible is real simple. The Bible says it's not about, and I'm telling you, go and vote. Man, you have a right as an American. But the Bible says that the heart of the king is in the hand of God. And if we humble ourselves and pray, God will hear from heaven and he'll heal our land. That's whether you live in Iraq or Kurdistan or Japan or Canada or America. God will heal our land Why? Because we're here, because he's given us dominion. Man, if you read the book of Deuteronomy and you read that account, and God says, look, I've set before you life and good, death and evil. He said, but look, if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, and you keep his commandments, and you keep his statutes, and you keep his laws, and you keep his ways, it says that he'll give you the land that he's promised you. And you'll live in that land, and you'll have dominion, and you'll multiply. See, and then we transition to the new covenant where Jesus just came and said, I came to give you life. And you know what? That was good enough. I will take life. I will make Jesus the Lord of who I am, of what I'm about, for life. But you know what? He didn't stop there. He said, I will give you life and life more abundant. See, now we look at it, we think, wait a second, who God is what the Word says that he is, not what everybody else says that he is. Who you are is what the Word says that you are, not what everybody else says that you are. Man, you look at it, I could go on for hours. We could sit here all day and I could quote God's promise on who you are, on where you ought to put your identity. But the bottom line is, that's your responsibility. The Bible says if we know the truth, if we live in the truth will set us free. It's not just about us knowing it. I believe Satan knows the truth. It's about us living it. It's about us dwelling in it. It's about it captivating our lives. I've been apprehended by God's truth. Pastor Sandy's been apprehended by God's truth. If we're talking, we're just a normal conversation. And I just want to express my heart. You know how that goes? And she'll say, Bill, don't confess that. Like, yeah, I know. My flesh really wants to gripe right now. I really want to just waddle in pity right now. No, don't confess that. We speak life. God says, I set before you life and death. Choose life. Choose life. Man, there's issues that come in your life, but God's promises address these issues. Every single one of them, no matter what it is. You know, so much so, and let me tell you where it gets, let me tell you how far this bend goes. It's in a tense that we're not used to speaking in. It's in this past perfect tense that's so supernatural. Like, you think about your finances, you think about need. Don't raise your hands, but how many of you guys have need in your life? You're like, dear God, I have need. God, I need you to come through for me. God, I need you to deliver me. God, I need your supply. Man, don't raise your hand. And so many people, if I said, look, how many of you guys have need? It's like, yes, I have need. Please pray for me. No, you know what? The bottom line is, it's receiving God's nature on the inside of you. And you know what his nature is regarding your need? All your need is met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm staggered by that. But I'm needy, God, but I need help. You know, some of you guys might have symptoms. Some of you guys might even have received a diagnosis and it's painful. And you're like, oh my gosh, I'm fighting back fear. I'm putting my shoulder against the door and I'm not letting it into my house. And the bottom line is you've got to let God contend with who contends and what contends with you. God will perfect you under the day of Christ Jesus. He's doing a work in you that is so amazing. But you know what? All the little concerns and the anxieties and the fears that we allow into our life, you know what they do? They neutralize all the work that God's trying to do. The Bible says to keep your mind on him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. But you know what we want to do? We want to acknowledge our need. We want to acknowledge the disease that we're trying to fend off. You know what the Bible says about that disease? No evil shall befall you, nor any plague come near where you live. You know what else it says? That Jesus, who's the same yesterday, today, and forever, went about doing good and healing all. It's like, oh my gosh, it's amazing. But you know what? I've got to run to that high tower and be safe. I've got to be who God's called me to be. Man, let me just tell you something. At the end of my life, I'm not going to stand before anybody in this room. I'm going to stand before him. I'm going to have to make account. I'm going to have to make account for every idle word. You know what that idle word is? The idle word that isn't hidden in Christ. man, everything, but man, it was hard. Man, things just didn't work out the way I'd planned. The Bible says many of the plans of a man's heart, but God directs his steps. Is your hand, is your life in God's hands or not? See, that's the place you have to be. Man, you got to trust in him. You got to trust what you see or how you feel. You got to trust some foreign report. Are you going to believe the report of the Lord? Man, the report of the Lord is by whose stripes you were healed. See, it's already happened. Man, there's so many people, and I even think I do this sometimes. Man, if I don't grab a hold, if I don't bring every thought of the captivity to Christ, I'm thinking God's going to do something for me. That's what I need. I need God. God, can you do this on my behalf? God, can you heal me? God, can you? And he's already done everything he's going to do. Everything we have need of is already happened. It's already been done. So now I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. See, it's no longer I who live, but listen to this, Christ, the anointed one that lives in me. It's no longer I who speak, but Christ who speaks in me. Oh, God, use me. God, help me rightly divide your word today. Help it penetrate people's minds to get to their hearts, God. God, there's some people in here, man, God's just weeding your heart right now so that seed can be sown in it. Man, pulling rocks out of a stony heart. Man, he's pulling rocks out so that a harvest could happen. But listen, God hasn't just promised us a harvest. He's given us the land. It's a land of opportunity. It's a land of promise. Man, it's a land of supernatural. It's a land of miracles. It's a land of more than enough. Man, think about that. God's given us the land of more than enough. Man, let that just seed in your heart. Just realize you live in a land now. You're not wandering through the wilderness anymore unless you don't know who God is. See, there was a purpose for the wilderness with the children of Israel. Man, they were in slavery and captive by Egypt and Pharaoh. And it was Moses who was able to partake of the Pharaoh's table and lived in the Pharaoh's house. And God spoke to him and said, go to the Pharaoh and tell him, set my people free, let them go. He said, he's not going to listen to me. He's trying to talk God out of it. He goes to Pharaoh. Pharaoh says no. He goes back to Pharaoh. Pharaoh says no again. He says no again. What happened, man? Plagues. And man, the force of heaven came upon the enemies of Israel. And what happened? Israel walked out free into the wilderness. What was the wilderness designed to do? The wilderness was designed for them just to go on a brisk walk and learn who God is. To know who God is without the restraints of Egypt. What if that could happen in your life? What if you don't make it a 40-year lifespan and you just make it an 11-day brisk walk? What if you get to know the God of the Word, the God who loves you more than you could ever comprehend, who will never leave you nor forsake you? And the Bible says that nothing can separate you from his love. And his love casts out all fear. And in fear, there's torment. It casts out all torment. And all we've got to do is just walk in that love and live in that love. And I'll tell you, an aspect of it is what Chano quoted from Luke 6, that don't judge, don't condemn. Forgive and give. Man, that's living in God's love. That promotes God's love in your life. But I think so many of the fears and the concerns that we have in life stiff arm God. Keep God's promise from just invading every aspect of our life. What if we let the peace of God rule and reign in our heart? What if we let the same power that raised Christ from the dead live in us? And what if we got past the things that have tormented us up to now? Do you understand what God is not concerned about? God is not concerned about your past. He's not concerned about your failures or your mistakes, your missteps, your sin. He's not concerned about that. He's concerned about right here and right now, today. And the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is your redemption. It's drawn near. But you know what? It can't just be information. It has to become revelation that transforms our lives. And every time I talk about this, I go right back to one verse, and it's Romans 12:2. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him. That we live for him, which is a reasonable service. Verse 2 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I'll tell you what the world needs today is a strong church, is a healthy church. Man, you think about the people that are in torment right now, people that are bound in fear right now. What if they got to know the God who loves us so much that he paid an ultimate sacrifice that we could live forever and fear would have no gauge in our life? What if? See, that's the amazing thing about God. That's the amazing thing about his church. His church is a city on a hill that can't be hidden. And you know what? It's God's will for people to flock toward Zion, to flock toward his church, to get help. And that's why you're here. You're just here for a little help. That's all it is. Man, nobody here is going to direct you. Man, we just want to help you. We want to help you get on such an incredible path and road with God that you're in that place where nothing shall by any means harm you, that no plague will come near where you live. That place that becomes the highway of holiness is the life that you travel on. The Bible says sin can't travel on it. The Bible says that path that God gives you, that's the highway of holiness, that God will widen the path beneath your feet so they don't slip. Man, you're not going to fall off the edge. This life that God's given us, it's not a tightrope that we're walking. No, that we can run and jump and be free and praise God. Man, be happy in life. See, but fear quenches all that. In fear, there's torment. Perfect love casts out all fear. That we allow the perfect love of God in Christ Jesus, that anointed one, the anointing that we have, that God prevails in our life no matter what. Why? We've been transformed into the image of his Son. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in me now. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you now. That's that same Spirit that death couldn't hold him. The grave couldn't keep him. And we're free now. Man, death can't hold you. Sickness can't keep you bound anymore. Remember, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. In the name of Jesus, be free today. In the name of Jesus, just receive it by faith. In the name of Jesus, fear has to go. The tormentor's defeated. In the name of Jesus, we're free, and those whom the Son set free are free indeed. That means free no matter what. That means not just free in that area, but generally free in life. Man, girls, what if your husbands were truly free? Man, free to serve God. Free to lead their household. Free to fulfill the call of God in their life. I believe that's what you bought into when you joined a church.
Thanks for listening to the Guts Church Podcast. For more information on service times, please visit gutschurch.com.